Well, maybe some of you are thinking, well, this is awkwardly strange. but we're going to build a bridge and get over it, right? I'm here, deal with it. But it is really a privilege and an honor to open up God's Word again. And please do turn to the book of Jeremiah. We're going to spend some time in a few verses here, Jeremiah chapter 20. And I wonder if you've ever heard the phrase, preach the gospel at all times, when necessary, use words. I'm sure that you've heard that phrase before. It's repeated plenty of times. It's received a lot of traction. And that phrase seeks to downplay preaching and teaching. And I think, especially in our day and age, the word preach and the word sermon is almost seen as cuss words. You know, don't preach to me. Don't give me a sermon. And we don't want to hear your preaching. People don't want to hear they need to repent of sin and turn to Jesus Christ alone. Okay, that's like borderline hate speech these days. If you go to someone and say, hey, you're in danger. You need to repent of your sin and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. You know, they'll accuse you for some sort of hate speech. Church, we want more deeds. We want fewer creeds. Don't speak to us about doctrine. We want to feel happy when we come to your church, not convicted. And so these days, churches that hold to God's inerrant word and seek to preach God's word to the people in the world are seen as enemies of modern day society. That's the world we live in, whether we like it or not. We don't want dogmatic Christianity. We don't want sermons on hell and judgment. We don't want to hear about sin and repentance. So that is the kind of society that we are called to serve with the gospel. Now this morning, Pastor Charles preached, I think, just a really important sermon and a really powerful sermon. That in order to impact the world, we have to use the hammer of God's word. We have to bring the fire when we go to this world to impact them. Whether people like it or not, God's word, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is the only medicine that is going to save people's souls, right? And so if we dilute this medicine, we fail them. They perish. If we add to this medicine, if we take away from this medicine of the gospel, fail the people we are called to go and minister to. And so God's word, again, just the centrality of God's truth, the gospel that we take into the world. So what a great reminder. Thank you, Pastor Charles. And I implore you to go on our website and listen to that sermon. Such a important word. And so this morning, as I was called in as a substitute preacher, I was sitting there at home and I thought, man, I was just so inspired by this morning's sermon that I felt, wow, we got to double click on that and we got to push that some more. And so that's what I want to do this evening. I want to push further what Pastor Charles preached on this morning and the centrality and the importance of God's word. Maybe add another swing or angle to it to just take us further in this. And so Jeremiah chapter 20, reading from verse 7. And sorry guys, I don't really have a PowerPoint or a title or anything like that. But maybe if you want to use a title, just lessons learned from Jeremiah about how to minister the gospel in a godless world. Jeremiah 20 verse 7. O Lord, you have deceived me and I was deceived. You are stronger than I and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I cry out, I shout violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. For I hear many whispering, terror is on every side. Denounce him. Let us denounce him. Say all my close friends, watching for my fall. Perhaps he will be deceived. Then we can overcome him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a dread warrior. Therefore my persecutors will stumble. They will not overcome me. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, who tests the righteous, who sees the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you have I committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hand of evildoers. And by the way, this is where things really swing. And we're going to talk about it. Verse 14. Cursed be the day on which I was born. Oh dear. The day when my mother bore me, let it not be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought the news to my father. A son is born to you, making him glad. Let that man be like the cities that the Lord overthrew without pity. Let him hear a cry in the morning and an alarm at noon. Because he did not kill me in the womb, so my mother would have been my grave and her womb forever great. Sure. Why did I come out from the womb to see toil and sorrow and spend my days in shame? I think from those verses you can understand why Jeremiah is often referred to as the weeping prophet. And the reason why Jeremiah is referred to as the weeping prophet is really two reasons that I want to quickly share. And the first reason is because Jeremiah is just so overwhelmed. He is so concerned and broken about what he has seen God is going to do to this nation. That God has determined to bring judgment upon the people because of their sin. Because of their rebellion, because of their stubbornness, that they are not repenting. They are just walking in the opposite direction, going forward in their absolute idolatry. And so Jeremiah has heard this message from God. I'm going to bring destruction upon these people. And Jeremiah is just broken up. If you read in Jeremiah 9 verse 21, there's this vivid picture that he gives us. He pictures death climbing through the windows. And so he sees what is going to happen to his people. And for us, we have the blessing of hindsight. We look back and we can see that it happened exactly as God told Jeremiah. Those 70 years of captivity where Jerusalem was sacked and the people were taken into exile. God revealed this to Jeremiah, God's judgment against sin. Also, when you read Isaiah chapter 9, he gives again this very vivid picture where he says, I wish my head was a fountain so that I can weep day and night for the calamity of my people. And so it shows us that Jeremiah is not only one who proclaims God's message, but he actually embodies God's message. Through Jeremiah, the people could see just the grief and the sadness and the deep emotional sorrow that God also felt because of this nation turning their backs on their God. And now God needs to judge them. And so Jeremiah was a living, visible illustration for the sad, shameful condition of Israel, the weeping prophet. He's also known as the weeping prophet because if you look at Jeremiah chapters 11 to 20, there's a collection of prayers where Jeremiah in these prayers is just pouring out his heart to God. He's pouring out his frustration, his sadness, his disappointment, and even his anger towards God. And he asks God these questions. God, why have you called me to such a difficult ministry? I'm preaching your word to the people and all I get for it is persecution and they are mocking me. They are insulting me. Some of them are even plotting to kill me. God, what is this? What's going on here? Why are you making it so difficult? Why have you done this to me? So that's why Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. And that kind of sets the scene for what we read in our text. And so I want us to learn a couple of lessons here about missions and about ministry in the context of a godless society. And so the first lesson is a very simple one. And that is, Christians will suffer some level of persecution as a result of faithful, honest proclamation of God's word. And when we suffer for the sake of God's truth, we are in the company of men like Jeremiah. We are in the company of men like Jesus. We are in the company of men like the Apostle Paul. You see, Jeremiah knew exactly why the people hated him. Didn't have to think about it. Didn't have to guess. He knew why the people hated him. It's because the people were getting sick of hearing Jeremiah's negative message again and again. They were just getting sick of hearing his message about judgment all the time. The scripture says here in our text, for whenever I speak, I cry out, I shout, violence and destruction, for the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. And so we have to ask the question, who's to blame for Jeremiah's problems? It's God. God's to blame. God gives him this message and he simply goes and proclaims this message and he suffers for it. So Jeremiah is suffering because of this word that God has told him to go and declare to these people. And so Jeremiah reflects on this problem and he comes up with an idea. If you look at the text, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name. There's a solution, right? I'll just stop talking about God. I'll hang up my sandals. I'll get a different job. I'll get a more comfortable life. I'll take the path of least resistance. There's a good option, right? Pastors, Christian workers, missionaries, church leaders, There's an option for you. Christian person trying to go and make disciples. There's an option for you. I don't want to be persecuted. I don't want people to think that I'm a negative guy. I don't want to rock the boat. So I just don't speak about him. I'll be like a submarine Christian. You know, I'll just submerge and I blend in. Or I'll be like a ninja Christian. Appear when it's church and just vanish. Nobody knows I'm a Christian. Or I just change the message. You know, I don't want this insult and this persecution. And so there's a good option. And so Jeremiah is thinking, maybe this is a solution. But for Jeremiah, there was only one problem with trying to keep God's word bottled up inside of him. And Pastor Charles reminded us of that this morning. And that is that God's word is like a fire and it burns in the chest of a true believer. And so Jeremiah resigns, but then straight afterwards he says, I cannot resign. He quits and immediately he says, I cannot quit. If I say I will not mention him or speak anymore in his name, no, hang on. There is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire in my bones. And I am weary of holding it in and I cannot. Is God's word like that for you? Is God's word like a fire in your bones? Jeremiah would have given anything to have a mute ministry. But God called him to speak. And this man could not hold his tongue. The fire in his bones had to blaze forth from his lips. So we want to send Jeremiah's to the nations. We want to hear Jeremiah's preach from our pulpits. We want to send Jeremiah's into the campuses to go and preach the word of God. We want to have Jeremiah's teaching our youth and Sunday school kids, men and women in whose hearts God's word is burning. Like that song we sang. God, make me a soul on fire. Don't you want that? But there's an important point here. And I think often this verse is used to describe the need for passionate, willing, keen preachers. But if we're completely honest, and remember we've done the series on the Bible and interpreting correctly and all of that, so I have to stick to my own teaching. Do you see Jeremiah as a very passionate, keen, willing preacher? Because I don't. Right? He's very passionate, but he is actually very reluctant. He doesn't want to preach this message. You see, throughout the whole book, he's arguing and back and forth with God. I don't want to preach judgment. I don't want to preach destruction, but still the word of God burns within him, compels him so that he can do nothing but preach this word that God has given him. And so it's like Jeremiah saying, I don't want to preach hellfire and judgment. I don't like the insult and the persecution. I don't like to be treated shamefully. I don't get a kick out of it. I don't feel holy because of it. I don't feel justified. This persecution makes me feel terrible. But I can't do anything else but preach this word that God has given me. And so I thought about this and I wondered, how do we make sense of this? And really the answer is that the power is not to be found in the man Jeremiah. The power is in the fire of God's word. That God's word is not going to be caged up. That's where the real power is. It's in the word of God. And when Martin Luther was asked the question, explain to us the success of the Reformation. Do you know what Martin Luther said? I did nothing. The word of God did everything. The Martin Luther, theologian, preacher, teacher, writer. I did nothing. The word of God did everything. And so I think for us then as a church, we really need to put our confidence in the fire of God's word. That this is not some pea shooter that we shoot at people out there. But this is lobbing grenades. This is God's word, and God is going to use his word. And we have to preach all of it, and not just parts of it. So I do believe that we live in a country that by and large has turned its back against God. I don't think you need to be very insightful or clever to see that. That our country has turned its back against the commands of God. And so we live in a culture very similar to that of Jeremiah. And there were so-called Christian people. There were so-called leaders and preachers and other prophets during Jeremiah's day. And they called out, peace, peace. Like so many of the preachers we hear today, love wins. God is not a God of judgment. There's no need to repent of sin. There's no need to preach against sin. Take a lesson from Jeremiah. He says, I will not say peace, peace, when God has pronounced danger and judgment. And so we have to take God's word, the delightful parts of it, and the disturbing parts of it. Can't just pick and choose. All of it needs to be a fire burning inside our bones. And so friends, people do need to hear a certain kind of message. It's not just do good. Of course, we've got to do good deeds. We've got to do good works before men so that people can glorify our Father in heaven. But there is a message that needs to be articulated and presented with words so people can understand and believe. And part of that message is that our souls are in danger. That God, outside of Christ, God is to be feared as a holy God who brings judgment. That's why the good news of Jesus is good news. It's like when a cancer patient knows that I've got cancer, I'm going to die. But then the doctor comes and says, but here's the antidote to your terminal illness. And so we can't just give the good news. We have to explain that God is actually angry with sinners. That there actually is a need to turn from your sin, to repent and trust in Jesus Christ. It's not a very popular message. But that's what people need to hear. That is God's truth. And so I believe that Jeremiah gives us a great example here for the missional life that God has called us to as a church. That our mission is to preach good news. And every aspect of it. And this is why the word doctrine is so important. Another cuss word. People often, like, we don't want to hear doctrine. But doctrine is just so important. Only the right medicine is going to give people healing. So this is why preaching the gospel requires words. This is why preaching the gospel takes courage. If everyone loves and accepts you, you better start asking, am I really preaching the gospel? And so the first lesson that we need to understand is that in order to complete the mission, in order to be faithful in a godless society, preaching is necessary. And I'm not just talking about preaching from a pulpit, but preaching to people, taking a message across to people. So preaching is necessary, and that preaching must be God's word and God's word only, all of God's word, not forgetting the reality that suffering will be a very likely result. So that's the first lesson, and it's a tough one. And the second lesson is a lot better, I promise. So listen to how verse 11 opens up. It says, but the Lord is with me. Isn't that great? Jeremiah suddenly interrupts his complaint and it changes over to doxology. He's alone, he's afraid, he's depressed, he's discouraged, but now he is finding hope again in the promises of God. He's finding joy. But the Lord is with me as a dread warrior. That just sounds so cool, man. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble. They will not overcome me. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, who tests the righteous, who sees the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you have I committed my cause. And then this, almost like the psalm that he sings, sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hand of evildoers. And so there is this little glimmer of light during Jeremiah's dark night of the soul. And so here's the second lesson. In our proclamation of the word to a godless society, God is always to be praised. Even in the midst of suffering. Jeremiah knew In this moment, Jeremiah knew that God was with him, even when he felt like God wasn't. You've ever been there? You feel like God is not with you. You feel like God has abandoned him. Well, Jeremiah reminds himself. He speaks to himself. He speaks to his heart. He preaches to himself. God is with me even though I don't feel like he is. Jeremiah knows that God is strong even when it looked like God isn't. And aren't we sometimes tempted to feel that way today? That God is just maybe not in control anymore. He knew the wicked will be defeated even when they appeared so triumphant and strong. And so in this moment, he did not take matters into his own hands. He did not change the message because it became difficult. He did not change his course. But he simply again committed his course to the Lord in an attitude of worship. And so we find, number one, Jeremiah could not hold the word of God down in his chest. And now we see that he could not hold in the worship and praise of his God. So I think this links in so nicely with Matthew 28, where Jesus says, our mandate as a church, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all things that I've commanded you, and I am with you to the very end of the age. And we have to remember that when we go out there, that when we faithfully pursue God's word, when we faithfully seek to bring God's word out to the people, that Jesus promises to be with us. So we don't do this on our own. Jeremiah finds strength in the character and promises of God. And for us as a church, we take heart as a church, seeking to be faithful, seeking to be faithful witnesses in a godless world, that Jesus is likewise with us. It should boost your confidence. Now guys, it will be very tempting to end the sermon there with these words of praise. And to tell you the truth, I was very, very tempted to end here, kind of wrap it up over here. But then I remembered again, like, never read a verse, all the things we said about, you know, doing the tough stuff, working through all of Scripture. And so we have to grapple with what comes next. So we're going to press a little bit further into a passage that seems very mysterious and very disheartening. So after the psalm of praise, after those wonderful words, words of confidence, listen to what Jeremiah says next. Cursed be the day on which I was born. Does that sound kind of depressing to you? Yeah. The day when my mother bore me, let it not be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought the news to my father, a son is born to you, making him very glad. Let that man be like the cities that the Lord overthrew without pity. Let him hear a cry in the morning and an alarm at noon, because he did not kill me in the womb. So my mother would have been my grave and her womb forever great. Forever great, why? Because it never gave birth to me. Why did I come out from the womb to see toil and sorrow and spend my days in shame? So now you see why I wanted to end earlier. These verses bowl us over. Because here's a man who moves from the mountain of praise straight back into the valley of despair. And he's questioning his life, he's questioning his calling, he's questioning his God, he's questioning everything. And so in a raw, disturbing, uncensored way, Jeremiah reminds us that a Christian's ministry calling is not easy. Is it? It's hard. It's hard to be a faithful minister of the gospel. Missionaries are people too. Pastors are people too. Christian workers are people too. Church leaders are people too. Those of you, you try and be a witness to your family, trying to be a witness in the workplace and on campus, you find that sometimes it's just so difficult. And maybe you ask these questions as well. Lord, why must I keep witnessing to my unbelieving family? Why must I constantly be shamed for my faith? It's just easier to give up, isn't it? Let me rather be a ninja Christian, God. It's just so much easier. Can't I rather hide and not talk about you? Because these days it's just getting so very difficult. I think we all have those moments. We just want to hide away. Right? And what I learn here is that it is okay for Christians to feel very deeply with God. And it's okay for Christians to be really, 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 really honest with God about how they feel. Because God knows anyway, right? And as I thought about what more to say about these verses, it's just been very difficult this afternoon wrestling with this text. And so I had this idea. What advice or comfort would you give Jeremiah at this time? If you were there and Jeremiah told you, "I wish the man who told my father about my birth got strangled. Cursed be the day I was born." What do you... That's like, hey, look, you can help this guy over here. Need some counseling here. What do you say to a guy like this? And you see, Jeremiah traced his troubles back to the womb, but he should have actually gone further back than that. Because God had a purpose for his life. To take his word to the people. Jeremiah, God set you apart for salvation and for ministry before you were even born. God set you apart for that. It makes me think of Ephesians, where it speaks about we are saved by grace, not through faith, not ourselves. It's a gift of God. And it carries on and it says that we have been called to do good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So God also has a purpose for your life before you were born for salvation and for ministry. And so I would remind Jeremiah of that. I would remind Jeremiah of the very first thing God told him way back in chapter 1 verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. God had a purpose for this man. And so Jeremiah stands in that cloud of many faithful witnesses who God used in the furnace of conflict, persecution, and hardship. That God's purpose for this man was to preach his word, and that purpose was achieved. Even though it was difficult. And so I believe we can apply this to ourselves as a church, that we have to keep holding up the word of God to the people out there. And if we should suffer for it, if we should be locked up for it, if we should be killed for it, heck, it won't be nice. We don't want that. We'll probably moan and groan like Jeremiah, like, woe is me, God, why is this happening? Crying out in despair. But we must have this conviction that there is this fire that needs to blaze out to the nations. There is this fire that needs to go and light the hearts of men and women and children all over the world till everyone has heard, till everyone has seen. And that's the lesson I learned from Jeremiah. And you know, Jesus preached no different message than Jeremiah. And I want to take you to one more scripture. Turn with me to the New Testament, to the book of John, chapter 12. And I want you to notice two things. I want you to notice the similarities between the ministry of Jeremiah and Jesus. And then I want you to also notice the principles for our own missionary endeavors. So, John chapter 12, reading from verse 24. This is Jesus speaking. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. What does that mean, Jesus? Well, he carries on. Whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Do you think Jeremiah was honored by God? Do you want to be honored by God for faithful witnessing? Verse 27, Jesus continues to say, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." You see, Jesus understood the path to glory leads through suffering. And he was not going to go the easy route. Jesus. In order to glorify the Father, in order to bring salvation to the nations, he was not going to change the plan to make it easier and more comfortable and more palatable. Jesus came to die. And he was going to finish that job. Calling on his life to lay down his life as a ransom for many. Call of the gospel. What Jesus has done. And I believe that Jesus calls us to that same life of suffering that leads to glory. And so here's what I believe. I don't think real gospel-centered, word-based missions can be successful without any kind of suffering. It's going to take effort. It's going to take going against the trends of this world. It's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take energy and work. Many have been locked up for taking this word to the nations. Many have been killed, tortured for this word, taking this word to the nations. Some would say, no, that's not me. Okay, that's like real stuff there. Like, that's not me. But my challenge is, and to myself as well, would we be more like Jeremiah? God's word is like a fire, and I just can't keep it in. Would we be more like Jesus? Father, save me from this hour. No. I will fulfill the purpose that you've sent me to fulfill and to finish. And for Jesus, it was death in order to bring salvation to the nations. For us, it's to glorify God by enjoying him and making him known using his words and his words only. And so may God help us to be bold and to be courageous with this message. And may God, and let's pray this month of missions. Why don't we pray for ourselves and our church? Pray for the city. Make this month really a matter of praying into this cause of taking God's word out. Pray for our missionaries. Pray for our campus workers, Sunday school teachers and pastors here. And may God make them courageous. And for those of you who don't have like a formal position, God has called every believer to be part of this mission. And so where you go, where you work, where you play, where you live, My prayer for you also, that you would also be like Jeremiah. That you will be ambitious and unwavering in this task. And may the Word of God be at the center. Let's pray. Sure, Lord God, I think of those words that we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. And therefore help us, Lord, to run with perseverance the race marked out before us. Lord, help us to think of spiritual things and help us to be aware of spiritual realities. Often it's so easy to be sucked up in our own little worlds. And we do forget that there is a whole world, millions of people living without Christ. And that ought to break us. God, maybe even now we think of names, faces, people we see, family, friends. God, may your word be a fire in our hearts, that we cannot contain it, that we have to speak. God, that we have to speak to them. Because if we do not speak to them, they might just die without you and fall into an eternity of judgment. God, help us. God, help us to be more like our Christ, who sets the example of love and compassion and truth. God, there's so much work to do all around us, in this city, in this country, on this continent, in this world. And so, Lord, give us great confidence in your word. Maybe the application for someone here is just to go to a friend and say, hey, can we read the Bible together? God, may we do something. Help us, Lord, not to leave here and just same old, same old. Get back into the routine of life. Help us to think, God. Think of these great spiritual realities. Make us aware so that we can go in your name. Amen.